Chapter 27. Podsnappery. Mr. Podsnap was well-to-do, and stood very high in Mr. Podsnap's opinion. Beginning with a good inheritance, he had married a good inheritance, and had thriven exceedingly in the marine insurance way, and was quite satisfied. He never could make out why everybody was not quite satisfied, and he felt conscious that he set a brilliant social example in being particularly well satisfied with most things, and, above all other things, with himself. Thus happily acquainted with his own merit and importance, Mr. Podsnap settled that, whatever he put behind him, he put out of existence. There was a dignified conclusiveness, not to add a grand convenience in this way of getting rid of disagreeables which had done much towards establishing Mr. Podsnap in his lofty place in Mr. Podsnap's satisfaction. I don't want to know about it. I don't choose to discuss it. I don't admit it. Mr. Podsnap had even acquired a peculiar flourish of his right arm in often clearing the world of its most difficult problems, by sweeping them behind him and consequently sheer away, with those words and a flushed face. For they affronted him. Mr. Podsnap's world was not a very large world, morally, no, nor even geographically. Seeing that although his business was sustained upon commerce with other countries, he considered other countries, with that important reservation, a mistake, and of their manners and customs would conclusively observe, not English. When, presto, with a flourish of the arm, and a flush of the face, they were swept away. Elsewhere, the world got up at 8, shaved close at 8:15, breakfasted at 9, went to the city at 10, came home at 5:30, and dined at 7. Mr. Podsnap's notions of the arts, in their integrity, might have been stated thus. Literature, large print, respectfully descriptive of getting up at 8, shaving close at 8:15, breakfasting at 9, going to the city at 10. Coming home at 5:30, and dining at 7. Painting and sculpture, models and portraits representing professors of getting up at 8, shaving close at 5:15, breakfasting at 9, going to the city at 10, coming home at 5:30, and dining at 7. Music, a respectable performance without variations on stringed and wind instruments. Sedately expressive of getting up at 8, shaving close at 8:15, breakfasting at 9, going to the city at 10, coming home at 5:30, and dining at 7. Nothing else to be permitted to those same vagrants the arts, on pain of excommunication. Nothing else to be anywhere. As a so eminently respectable man, Mr. Podsnap was sensible of its being required of him to take Providence under his protection. Consequently, he always knew exactly what Providence meant. Inferior and less respectable men might fall short of that mark, but Mr. Podsnap was always up to it. And it was very remarkable and must have been very comfortable that what Providence meant was invariably what Mr. Podsnap meant. These may be said to have been the articles of a faith and school which the present chapter takes the liberty of calling, after its representative man, Podsnappery. They were confined within close bounds, as Mr. Podsnap's own head was confined by his shirt collar, and they were enunciated with a sounding pomp that smacked of the creaking of Mr. Podsnap's own boots. There was a Miss Podsnap. And this young rocking horse was being trained in her mother's art of prancing in a stately manner without ever getting on. But the high parental action was not yet imparted to her, and in truth she was but an undersized damsel, with high shoulders, low spirits, chilled elbows, and a rasped surface of nose, who seemed to take occasional frosty peeps out of childhood into womanhood, and to shrink back again, overcome by her mother's headdress and her father from head to foot crushed by the mere dead weight of Podsnappery. A certain institution in Mr. Podsnap's mind which he called the young person may be considered to have been embodied in Miss Podsnap, his daughter. It was an inconvenient and exacting institution, as requiring everything in the universe to be filed down and fitted to it. The question about everything was, would it bring a blush into the cheek of the young person? And the inconvenience of the young person was, that, according to Mr. Podsnap, she seemed always liable to burst into blushes, when there was no need at all. There appeared to be no line of demarcation between the young person's excessive innocence, and another person's guiltiest knowledge. Take Mr. Podsnap's word for it, and the soberest tints of drab, white, lilac, and gray were all flaming red to this troublesome bull of a young person. The Podsnaps lived in a shady angle adjoining Portman Square. They were a kind of people certain to dwell in the shade, wherever they dwelt. Miss Podsnap's life had been, from her first appearance on this planet, altogether of a shady order. For, Mr. Podsnap's young person was likely to get little good out of association with other young persons, and had therefore been restricted to companionship with not very congenial older persons, and with massive furniture. Miss Podsnap's early views of life being principally derived from the reflections of it in her father's boots, and in the walnut and rosewood tables of the dim drawing rooms, and in their swarthy giants of looking glasses, were of a somber cast, and it was not wonderful that now, when she was on most days solemnly tooled through the park by the side of her mother in a great tall custard-colored phaeton, she showed above the apron of that vehicle like a dejected young person sitting up in bed to take a startled look at things in general, and very strongly desiring to get her head under the counterpane again. Said Mr. Podsnap to Mrs. Podsnap, Georgina is almost 18. Apostrophe, said Mrs. Podsnap to Mr. Podsnap, assenting, almost 18. Apostrophe, said Mr. Podsnap then to Mrs. Podsnap, really I think we should have some people on Georgina's birthday. Apostrophe, said Mrs. Podsnap then to Mr. Podsnap, which will enable us to clear off all those people who are due. Apostrophe, so it came to pass that Mr. and Mrs. Podsnap requested the honor of the company of 17 friends of their souls at dinner, and that they substituted other friends of their souls for such of the 17 original friends of their souls as deeply regretted that a prior engagement prevented their having the honor of dining with Mr. and Mrs. Podsnap, in pursuance of their kind invitation. And that Mrs. Podsnap said of all these inconsolable personages, as she checked them off with a pencil in her list, asked, at any rate, and got rid of, apostrophe and that they successfully disposed of a good many friends of their souls in this way, and felt their consciences much lightened. There were still other friends of their souls who were not entitled to be asked to dinner, but had a claim, to be invited to come, and take a haunch of mutton vapor bath at 9:30. For the clearing off of these worthies, Mrs. Podsnap added a small and early evening to the dinner, and looked in at the music shop to bespeak a well-conducted automaton to come, and play quadrilles for a carpet dance. Mr. and Mrs. Veneering, and Mr. and Mrs. Veneering's brand new bride and bridegroom, were of the dinner company. But the Podsnap establishment had nothing else in common with the Veneerings. Mr. Podsnap could tolerate taste in a mushroom man who stood in need of that sort of thing, but was far above it himself. Hideous solidity was the characteristic of the Podsnap plate. Everything was made to look as heavy as it could, and to take up as much room as possible. Everything said boastfully, here you have as much of me in my ugliness, as if I were only lead. But I am so many ounces of precious metal worth, so much an ounce, wouldn't you like to melt me down? Apostrophe apostrophe a corpulent straddling epergne, blotched all over, as if it had broken out in an eruption, rather than been ornamented, delivered this address from an unsightly silver platform in the center of the table. Four silver wine coolers, each furnished with four staring heads, each head obtrusively carrying a big silver ring in each of its ears, conveyed the sentiment up and down the table, and handed it onto the pot-bellied silver salt sellers. All the big silver spoons and forks widened the mouths of the company expressly for the purpose of thrusting the sentiment down their throats with every morsel they ate. The majority of the guests were like the plate, and included several heavy articles weighing ever so much. But there was a foreign gentleman among them, whom Mr. Podsnap had invited after much debate with himself, believing the whole European continent to be in mortal alliance against the young person, and there was a droll disposition, not only on the part of Mr. Podsnap, but of everybody else, to treat him as if he were a child who was hard of hearing. As a delicate concession to this unfortunately born foreigner, Mr. Podsnap, in receiving him, had presented his wife as Madame Podsnap, apostrophe also his daughter as Mademoiselle Podsnap, with some inclination to add Ma Phil, apostrophe in which bold venture, however, he checked himself. The Veneerings being at that time the only other arrivals, he had added in a condescendingly explanatory manner, Monsieur Veneering, apostrophe and had then subsided into English. How do you like London? Apostrophe apostrophe Mr. Podsnap now inquired from his station of host, as if he were administering something in the nature of a powder or potion to the deaf child. London, Londres, London? Apostrophe apostrophe the foreign gentleman admired it. You find it very large? Apostrophe apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, spaciously. The foreign gentleman found it very large. And very rich? Apostrophe apostrophe the foreign gentleman found it, without doubt, enormous rich. Enormously rich, we say, apostrophe returned Mr. Podsnap, in a condescending manner. Our English adverbs do not terminate in mong, and we pronounce the ch as if there were a t before it. We say rich. Apostrophe, reach, apostrophe remarked the foreign gentleman. And do you find, sir, apostrophe pursued Mr. Podsnap, with dignity, many evidences that strike you, of our British constitution in the streets of the world's metropolis, London, Londres, London? Apostrophe apostrophe the foreign gentleman begged to be pardoned, but did not altogether understand. The Constitution Britannique, apostrophe Mr. Podsnap explained, as if he were teaching in an infant school. Apostrophe we say British, but you say Britannique, you know, forgivingly, as if that were not his fault. The Constitution, sir. Apostrophe the foreign gentleman said, mace, yees. I know him. Apostrophe, a youngish sallowish gentleman in spectacles, with a lumpy forehead, seated in a supplementary chair at a corner of the table, here caused a profound sensation by saying, in a raised voice, Esker, apostrophe and then stopping dead. Mesawa, apostrophe said the foreign gentleman, turning towards him. S.C.K.? Quoi donc? Apostrophe, but the gentleman with the lumpy forehead having for the time delivered himself of all that he found behind his lumps, spake for the time no more. I was inquiring, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, resuming the thread of his discourse, whether you have observed in our streets as we should say, upon our pavé as you would say, any tokens apostrophe, the foreign gentleman, with patient courtesy entreated pardon, but what was tokens? Apostrophe apostrophe marks, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, signs, you know, appearances traces, apostrophe ah, of a horse, apostrophe inquired the foreign gentleman. We call it horse, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, with forbearance. In England, Anglet or England, we aspirate the h, and we say horse. Only our lower classes say horse. Apostrophe, pardon, apostrophe said the foreign gentleman. I am always wrong. Apostrophe, our language, apostrophe said Mr. Podsnap, with a gracious consciousness of being always right, is difficult. Ours is a copious language, untrying to strangers. I will not pursue my question. Apostrophe, but the lumpy gentleman, unwilling to give it up, again madly said, Esker, apostrophe and again spake no more. It merely referred, apostrophe Mr. Podsnap explained, with a sense of meritorious proprietorship to our Constitution, sir. We Englishmen are very proud of our Constitution, sir. It was bestowed upon us by Providence. No other country is so favored as this country. Apostrophe, and those are countries? Apostrophe, the foreign gentleman was beginning, when Mr. Podsnap put him right again. We do not say ozer, we say other. The letters are T and H. You say T and H, you know. Still with clemency, the sound is TH, TH. Apostrophe, and other countries, apostrophe, said the foreign gentleman. They do how? Apostrophe, apostrophe, they do, sir, apostrophe, returned Mr. Podsnap, gravely shaking his head. They do, I am sorry to be obliged to say it as they do. Apostrophe, it was a little particular of Providence, apostrophe, said the foreign gentleman, laughing, for the frontier is not large. Apostrophe, undoubtedly, apostrophe, assented Mr. Podsnap, but so it is. It was the charter of the land. This island was blessed, sir, to the direct exclusion of such other countries as there may happen to be. And if we were all Englishmen present, I would say, apostrophe, added Mr. Podsnap, looking round upon his compatriots, and sounding solemnly with his theme, that there is in the Englishman a combination of qualities, a modesty, an independence, a responsibility, a repose, combined with an absence of everything calculated to call a blush into the cheek of a young person, which one would seek in vain among the nations of the earth. Apostrophe, having delivered this little summary, Mr. Podsnap's face flushed, as he thought of the remote possibility of its being at all qualified by any prejudiced citizen of any other country, and, with his favorite right arm flourish, he put the rest of Europe and the whole of Asia, Africa, and America nowhere. The audience were much edified by this passage of words, and Mr. Podsnap, feeling that he was in rather remarkable force today, became smiling and conversational. Has anything more been heard, Veneering, apostrophe, he inquired, of the lucky legatee? Apostrophe, apostrophe, nothing more, apostrophe, returned Veneering, than that he has come into possession of the property. I am told people now call him the Golden Dustman. I mentioned to you some time ago, I think, that the young lady whose intended husband was murdered is daughter to a clerk of mine? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, you told me that, apostrophe, said Podsnap. And by the by, I wish you would tell it again here, for it's a curious coincidence, curious, that the first news of the discovery should have been brought straight to your table when I was there, and curious that one of your people. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.